The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it this morning. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Barcanada. Barcanada, the barrage here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. You good? You all right?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay. Just PG.
You know what? I think these construction folks are looking to see when we have the headphones on, and they're stopping the drilling.
I think that's what's going on, dude. It's actually
I really appreciate it.
It's like really impressive.
It's
actually
really impressive. Very much appreciated.
I don't know.
By the way, we have an hour left. I might have jinxed
it. Yeah. I was going to bring it up to you before. Then you brought it up the next break. I was like, this might be a thing.
Might be a thing.
Thing or not a thing.
We get tweets at Beat of the Book. Chance Copperpot. Okay, Gil, my Pirates most wins March, April is sunk, so I am pulling for you. 65-1. Instead of my 60-1. What a fun bet. I was able to monetize by just following along and betting your Guardians and other teams off to a hot start. Good exercise. Yeah, we all made money doing that. And it's not like it's a loser for us, but it ain't the genius of 65-1 or the joy of 65-1.
So how did you end up hedging this weekend?
Oh, as I said before, and I said this on Friday, I was I thought we had a thing. I jinxed it. By the way, every time they do that, I'm going to go, excuse me. See if anyone thinks. So Friday, I said, I'm not going to hedge on Friday. I'm going to let the Guardians, see if the Guardians can win that game.
Right.
They did not. And so then Braves Saturday, Guardians won. Braves Sunday for more, Braves won.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. But along the way, we bet the Guardians so many times too. Like, you're way ahead on the bet, but it's nothing like the home run here.
And you never ended up betting the series price, right?
No, I told you I was not going to bet the series price.
Was high. Was it 280? Is that what they said?
Something like that. Yeah. By the way, again, Eric Biggio from William Hill has chimed in.
Oh, yeah. I was going to read that
too. He says, have enjoyed your breakdown of the Guardians bet. Great value, no doubt. We're a dead heat shop at William Hill Caesars with one more caveat. We booked most wins in April. Oh, not March, April. They did April only. Oh, man. Could you imagine if we had to, like, throw in that to all the explanation, too? So the Braves are in the catbird seat right now in that market. So if you betted at William Hill Caesars, it wasn't March, April. It was just April. So the Braves have already won that. Odds for most wins in May are up. I got a couple tweets last week from folks who were hey, are you going to do May? I got to tell you, and I mean this by saying, full immersion into this bet, it has been exhausting. It has been mentally exhausting.
I think you should do one every month. Eric, can you get us every month posted?
Bro, I cannot. I need at least a month
break.
Yeah,
but here's the thing, Gil. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
If you did one every month, one team, you're also, I'd hate to break it to you. You probably ain't going to be live for the whole month.
No, exactly.
you might get a break halfway
Here's the
through.
Thing. They're going to be smarter now, right? They're going to be better at their numbers on account of what just took place here. And they are most likely to get away with having the bad number here on the Guardians in March, April. And they probably will be smarter about it moving forward. So I'm going to let somebody else do May. I don't have the strength for a May bet right now. And it won't be nearly as fun, as you point out. It's not going to be nearly, probably won't be a 65-1. It won't be nearly as fun.
Yeah.
And I just want to say this about the Guardians. They are scrappy. They are really good. They probably win that division. But again, juxtaposed against a team like the Braves, man. You know, it might be a fun exacted bet. It's Braves over the Guardians in the World Series. Like, if you can find that. Because the Guardians are a team that if you get them into a playoff, they're like not the Yankees or the Astros. Or, you know, let's see if the Astros can get there. But they're not the sexier teams, quote unquote, in the American League. Adam Burke, I'll get back to you in two days, I promise.
They don't have exactas up right now. That's kind of surprising, actually.
By the way, is anybody going to put up the NBA exactas so we could just bet the Nuggets over the... over the Celtics as well. Although some people think the Timberwolves have a shot to beat the Nuggets.
They've been up. We hit on those last week.
We did, but they take them down and they put them back up.
Yeah, they are. It is the...
Yeah, you got to be there at the right time.
The number one NBA team futures market, I would say, that goes down and up and down and up
annoying.
That often,
The other thing about watching so much baseball is you get to like hear the broadcasters for every team. So I decided to watch all seven games that the Guardians played the A's. And for some reason, I get Bay Area sports on my Roku here. So I see all the Giants games, all the A's games. And the A's have the first ever primary female play-by-play announcer. Jenny Kavnar, and she is really good. She knows all, you know, she is as versed in baseball as anyone is, with only one criticism I have. When the A's make a dramatic comeback, she needs to modulate her voice because she goes, and the A's are going to tie it. And you're like, wait, what am I watching? Is that you have to fixate. Is this live? Because I think the A's just made a dramatic comeback. That's my only criticism. Yeah. Otherwise, she's great.
Yeah, I need for people like me, you need Mike Breen yelling "bang" at you like 18 times.
She's the opposite of Spiro Diddy's on the NBA broadcast, who goes nuts when a team hits a layup and goes 8-6. What a layup! It's 8-6. Spiro,
relax. I did start writing down some of the quotes I caught over the weekend for you of the basketball announcers of. There was one yesterday. I don't even remember what game it was at this point, but if they make some stops on defense and get out in transition, I think that's really going to help them in this game. Like, oh God, like yeah, yep, that's a good one. It's always a good one.
By the way, we didn't even mention Saturday basketball because all the games were blowouts. It was like a quartet of horrible. I mean, if you're betting, it's one thing, but if you're just a spectator, it was just horrible.
It was gross. I had one bet on Saturday. Yeah, it was gross.
It started with the Magic going on a 41-8 run to turn around game four of their series with Cleveland. That's now knotted up at 2 apiece. Do you have any instinct on that series now?
I mean, I kind of do. Like, that series, I mean, I've stayed away. I haven't been a single game in that. It's really, I mean, it's still gross. Like, we talk about the Pacers winning, and you're like, the Pacers are so bad. Like, whoever wins this series, they're still so bad compared to the Celtics that they're going to face. But I texted you. We were texted on Saturday.
I said
Saturday,
I go 41-8. Right? I said you, yeah.
I mean, that run was ridiculous. Like, the run was silly. Those are the types of things you never see again, right? But there's something starting to happen in that series that was the killer for the Cavs last year when they met the Knicks in round one. I was loaded up on the Cavs in that series last year. Start looking at those rebounding numbers. And
I'll give them to you. Out-rebounded 43-29.
Last game.
This last game.
Yeah, last game. And the game before, also, it was something similar like that. So you're looking at Jared Allen and Evan Mobley on the floor, and this is one of those teams that you're just not supposed to get out-rebounded when you have the type of lineups that they're throwing out there. And the Magic were always going to be the tough team from that perspective, Gil, because they're big everywhere. But, man, it's just, you can tell the effort. Yeah, the Magic are throwing at them. It's just, they're playing tougher and harder than the Cleveland Cavaliers.
And remember,
right,
Cleveland tanked for this.
And they tanked for this. The Cavs wanted this.
Openly tanked to get to play the Magic in the first round, just so they could say, we won a series, Cleveland.
Yeah, real quick, my perspective on the series going forward, Gil, is the Cavs are still a better team. They should win this. I'm too scared to bet this now, though. Like, the Magic, the defense is there. They do not have an NBA playoff quality offense. Like, the offense doesn't belong. So what you've seen the past couple games, you shouldn't expect that to continue. But, I mean, like, if you told me the Cavs locker room was a disaster right now, I would believe that in a heartbeat. You already know there were guys that weren't happy about how they approached that final day of the regular season. And now you're coming off of two horrible losses in Orlando. This Cavs team might be in trouble right now.
And the other three on Saturday weren't much better. OKC went up on New Orleans 3-0, a game so bad that Charles Barkley was saying, well, forget 1-2-3 Cancun, 1-2-3 Galveston. And then when he found out Beyonce's mom was from Galveston, he apologized. And he said, that water's so dirty, I'd rather go to San Antonio with those big old women. He said. So OKC 3-0 over New Orleans. Boston, that was nice, Miami, that you hit 23 threes in the previous game. But instead, now Miami went 9 of 28. And so the earth, returned to its axis. Yeah. Pardon me. The earth returned to its axis. Down 24 at half were the Heat. They were outscored 42-27 in the second quarter. So Boston goes up 2-1 in that series. Miami still trying to knot it up in game four. And then Denver.
Let's go, Heat.
Didn't get the sweep. They'll look for the gentleman's sweep. Any plays tonight from you in the NBA?
I mean, I do. I played the Thunder, but I played the Thunder on the money line earlier on the opener when it was. But only reason I'm really doing that, Gil, I would still lean the Thunder side. You're laying 5 now.
Game fours that are 3-0 are so difficult to get involved with.
They are. Anything north of 5, I wouldn't be interested in. To be honest, the only reason I bet this is because the series bets I have in this are the Thunder to win in 5 and to win in 6. So I'm kind of hedging with that a little bit tonight, betting the Thunder to close this out. So I did that. They would still be my favorite side of the night. Would
OKC
be Thunder
favored by five, Celtics favored by 10 the night before that, and Nuggets looking to close out the Lakers favored by a touchdown.
Both those other games, like from a side perspective.
Yeah, you don't want any part of it.
I think Lakers Nuggets. I lean to the over in that game for me. I think you've seen some higher scoring games from both these teams. The Nuggets offense can't be stopped. I know it's a bet. I want to give credit to Dinzik because he's bet at the past couple games. Nuggets team total over. I think that's one you could look at almost automatically in this series. I know he has. That's where I would lean. Yeah, I can't lay seven points. So with how well Lakers have played this whole series, this is going to be so weird. I'm almost happy for these guys. They got to win the other night because if it ended up being another sweep, with how well they've played, man, it's just brutal. I mean, for a guy like LeBron James, too. So that's where I would go: Lakers, Nuggets, Celtics, Heat. You can't lay 10.5 points with the Celtics. I mean, I can't.
Tomorrow the games are much better. Knicks favored by 4, trying to close out the Sixers. Pacers 3.5 at Milwaukee, trying to close that out. And then in that Cleveland Magic game 5, the Cavs are favored by 4.5.
I mean, Cavs Magic under is the only thing I'd consider there.
Under 201.
Can't look at a side. Pacers Bucks. I don't think I have any interest at that number here. Like, I've heard this from a couple people. The problem is with really going heavy on the Pacers is the defense is still so bad.
So bad.
That it doesn't even take a ridiculous shooting night for a team to stay with them.
Did you do what I did? It looked like Middleton was just horribly hurt, wasn't going to come back, made a bet in-game on Indiana -9, then he shows up and you still win the bet anyway. It's ridiculous.
No, I made a worse
one. Samich next, Samo bombing on the Derby.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Don't forget to check out our new website, by the way, VSiN.com, even though we don't really have that promo here. Kelly, I just wanted to point that out. Just came
hey,
to
there's
mind.
Always great stuff on VSiN.com.
Always. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting out, or betting guides, rather, I should say. VSiN.com. Check it out. Did I mention it's Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D? I think I did. Ladies and gentlemen, we're always thrilled when he joins us on Mondays to talk all kinds of sports. We will get to the Kentucky Derby because Mike Samich's wheelhouse is horse racing, but he's got so many other sports to talk about first. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at SamoBomb18. SamoBomb. No, not yet. Okay, there we go. Just get it out of the way. Mike, how you doing, man? Good morning.
Doing well. It was a frustrating game-by-game betting over the weekend, but the series are going to save me here, so hopefully we can get the results we need to end these series out.
What are your series bets again?
I've got the Pacers -1.5, Pacers in 6. I've got under 5.5 games in the Nuggets-Lakers series. I've got the Panthers -170, Panthers -1.5. Just a whole bunch of them out there. The only loser right now looks like the Predators, which is wildly frustrating because they should have won both game 3 and game 4, but hockey'd on us and they lost both.
I was just going to say hockey happened. That's exactly right. Okay. Well, let's start with basketball because you do have one bet in the NBA tonight.
Yeah, I do. I'm going to go back to the well here. Played the Celtics and the Heat under on Saturday. That one went comfortably under 188 points on 104.5 closing number. I like the under again today. Look, the game 2 of just anomaly of the 3-point shooting from the Heat, shooting 54%, pushed that game way over the total. I don't agree that this is a total series that should be necessarily played toward the over. I expect Boston to be able to win by margin again. And the Heat play slower when they're at home. So everything points toward the under here to me. So I'm going back to the under 203.5 here, Celtics in the Heat.
Okay, and since you brought up, oh, by the way, your biggest bet in basketball, let us reestablish, is that the Celtics' total number of losses in the Eastern Conference remains at 1. That's the biggest bet that you have going. Let's establish that.
That's the most important bet, Gil.
That's
I'm not going
right.
to say it's the biggest one out there,
the
but
most
definitely
important.
The most important one.
It's absolutely the most important. Number set at 5.5, by the way. Samich has the under. All right, hockey. Let's start with, you just mentioned the Panthers. You have a series bet on that. On them, they are going to game 5 tonight, looking for the gentleman's sweep, Sergei Bobrovsky and the Panthers, and you have a bet on them as well tonight.
I do. Let's close it out here in 5. Let's not even have to worry about the -1.5 getting a sweat into game 6. Look, the Panthers are the better team in this series. They outplayed the Lightning pretty drastically game 1 through 3. Game 4, you saw that the Lightning team showed up, showed a little bit of heart there. You were expecting them to play well. They did. Now they got to go back to Miami, take on this Panthers team at home. And look, the Panthers just better up and down the lineup. They are just better. And so I'm willing to lay the goal and a half here. Plus 136, the Panthers can close this puppy out tonight in five games.
All right. And then game four, the only series that has not played four games. The Knights won the first two, as we mentioned, at Dallas. Dallas comes back, wins game three in overtime here at T-Mobile. You are you're threading a needle here in this game with a couple bets. What are you doing?
I am. So this is one of the interesting parts about betting the playoffs. You have to handicap emotion and the mental capacity of these teams. And this series in itself has been very interesting. I love advanced metrics in hockey. Expected goals is a very interesting one. It takes the probability of a goal scored based on where the shot was came from and who shot it. Well, based on the expected goals, the Stars are up 3-0 in this series. Yet we look down and it's 2-1 Golden Knights. The Golden Knights got embarrassed last game. The expected goals in that was the Dallas Stars 5.5 to the Golden Knights 1.5. They just got outplayed up and down the ice. Logan Thompson kept them in that game. I think you're going to see a very good early response here from the Golden Knights. So I took some 1st-to-5 shots action with the Vegas Golden Knights. I think they come out, play very well, very fast on home ice early in this game, get to that 5-shot number. But I don't think they win the game. I think Dallas is still the better team here in this series. They looked awesome in game three. They dominated play in game two. Game one was a little bit more even. I think Dallas wins this game, but I do think Vegas comes out hot. So give me Vegas Golden Knights 1st-to-5 shots minus 115. And then I'll take the Dallas Stars. I laid minus 120 with them for the full game tonight.
See what he did there? 1st-to-5 shots on the Knights, but he has the Stars winning the game. By the way, do you have any futures plays in hockey to win it all? Or if I had just asked you, bets aside, who you think ends up in the Stanley Cup Finals? What's your instinct?
I'm sitting on a 40-1 Predators ticket, which would have been a lot better if we were up 3-1 instead of down 3-1. So that's probably going in the trash can. If I was going to jump in right now, look, the Stars at 11-1, I think, is a very good price because they're down 2-1 in the series. You're able to get them at a much better number than expected. They were as high as 15-1 this weekend, as high as 25-1 before game three. They are really the best team in the West. It's just whether or not they're going to be able to get timely goals and they're going to be able to stay out of the box against this Golden Knights team. If they win tonight, you're going to see their price plummet to sub 7-1. And the other team that I'm interested in here, and it's kind of chalky, the Carolina Hurricanes have looked phenomenal through this first round. They lost game four to the Islanders, but played very well. They've got great goaltending, multiple lines of scoring, very good defense, and they control the puck and control the pace of the game, which are huge parts of the playoffs as well.
You agree with me that Knights fans are the most spoiled fans in all of sports? Golden Knights.
Oh yeah. I mean, you think about it, going to the Stanley Cup Finals in your first year, winning a cup within your first seven, having a just consistently good roster. It's been ridiculous how well this has gone for Las Vegas. And I argue Las Vegas is one of the best sports towns in America. When I lived there, the 51s were playing and the Area 51s, the minor league baseball team, you couldn't get a ticket. That thing was sold out constantly. There was a minor league team that was playing in Orleans Arena for hockey. Tickets were like $100 to go to those games. People want sports in Vegas. And to be able to have really the first professional sports team come in and get the level of play they have gotten early in this franchise's history is just wildly lucky.
Can I tell my JVT story? JVT, who I love, Jonathan Von Tobel, obviously a great host here at the network, does VSiN Primetime with Tim Murray every night, 6 p.m. Eastern. JVT, when the Knights, I don't know if he'll even remember this, but it stuck with me. When the Knights and the Capitals, when the Golden Knights and the Capitals were in the Stanley Cup Finals in 2018, keep in mind, this is the Knights' first year, and it's the Caps' 44th. And the Caps had only been to one finals the previous 43 years. And I was wearing an Ovechkin shirt, and JVT had the audacity to say to me, "Oh, yeah, you just get that last week." I'm like, "Oh, my God." These Golden Knights fans are unbelievable. Okay, before we get to the Derby, which we'll have a whole segment to get to because that's your wheelhouse, you are actually considering jumping into May. The month of May, most wins in Major League Baseball from May 1st through May 31st. Yes?
I mean, you guys got my brain ticking here because you talked about the Guardians bet. First off, phenomenal job there, Gil, 65-1, great price. But it makes you think, okay, maybe there is some way to kind of exploit this market. And so I texted Kelly and then said, hey, what's the number on the Blue Jays? Because this is a team that you know, Guerrero and Bichette really haven't started hitting yet, but the pitching's okay. And if they can stay out of division, they have a much better chance of cashing a bet like this. You look over the Blue Jays schedule, they've got 6 against the White Sox. Well, they're not very good. They've got 4 against the Tigers, 3 against the Nationals. They've got to play Baltimore in a 3-game set, which is a little tough, but their other series are Philadelphia, Minnesota, Tampa Bay, all of them winnable. They may lose just one series in the entire month. They're sitting on the board at 28-1. So I don't know if I even have access to this market. I've got to see if I do. But if I do, I may take some Blue Jays 28-1.
Okay. Eric Biggio did tweet us. We read his tweet. They not only have at William Hill Caesars, they not only have most regular season wins in May. Dead heat rules apply, by the way. And if you want to know who the short shot is, it is the Orioles at 4-1. You know who the second short shot is? Cleveland Guardians 5-1. 5-1.
Too much Guardians exposure.
I think we might. Yeah, it's. By the way, I haven't even looked at the Guardian schedule in May. They also, though, have MLB team. Now, this is interesting. They also have MLB team with most wins by the All-Star break.
Oh, that's cool.
Braves, the usual suspects are at the top here. Braves, Yankees, Dodgers, Orioles, Phillies, and then the Guardians at 12-1. Okay.
It feels like that would be a less exploitable market.
Yes, that's correct.
Because you really want the variance when you're playing these markets. And the shorter the time frame, the higher the variance you're going to get. So playing the All-Star break market, you should expect it's Dodgers and Braves, someone like that. But these month-to-month markets, you could find a team that can get hot.
I like when Mike Somich comes on and then says what I was thinking 34 days ago. That's exactly right. That's why we did the bet, because it's the perfect length, right? It's just manageable enough that it's like you can see where the advantage is, and you can see, obviously, there's a spectrum. Things can go your way, things cannot go your way, but you can see if it just tilts your way a little, how you have this short horizon bet that you're right. If you do it from now to the All-Star break, the immense talent of the Atlanta Braves is much more likely to win out, right? Now, you don't expect to lose in a short time frame, though. You also hope that you don't lose a game to rain, because it means that much more, which we did. You don't lose your starter to Tommy John surgery, which we did, you know, all that stuff. But again, the Braves lost all that, too, and more. The Braves are just amazing. I'll ask you before we go to break. Why doesn't everybody have a Braves to win it all ticket? They're so much better than everybody else.
Because of the MLB playoffs
happens.
What I mean,
earlier.
The thing we talk about, how there's a lack of variance. Why, like, my argument, Gil, if you like the Braves, why don't you have a most wins in the regular season ticket? Because that, again, goes back to having less variance. When you get into these 7-game playoff series, anything can happen. And we saw that last year. So I'm looking for the longer term if I'm playing those type of teams on a short number.
I made that point when I asked it rhetorically out loud. I said yes, and no one has talked about the incongruence of the playoffs versus 162 more than I have. They're so good that I just feel like no one can beat them. At least as they look right now. Somich on the Derby. You will not want to miss this. The foremost authority. I just gave him that much. Kentucky Derby next with Mike Somich. Numbers game, VSiN.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live at Bar Canada at the D. Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin. Mike Somich kind enough to join us for a second straight segment. You can follow him on Twitter at SomoBomb18. He is, of course, the co-host of The Handle, which he does with Matt Brown each and every weekend here at 12 noon Eastern, Saturdays and Sundays. And Mike, I went into the break and I said the foremost authority on the Kentucky Derby. And people are like, wow, that's got to be a crazy exaggeration. By the way, Mike comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. But you have crushed the Derby, yes?
Yeah, we've had a good couple years here. I mean, I did not have Rich Strike 2 years ago, but the prior year to that, able to hit the superfecta, gave that one out on a couple different airwaves. It was a $24 ticket. That one paid just under $5,000. And last year, if you watched any of the content, including what we were talking about here on VSiN right up until the race, I like Mage quite a bit, 15-1. He was able to get home first there, had the try as well. So it's been a very good last few years in the Derby. Hopefully we can keep it running.
That sounds awesome. Okay, before we get to your thoughts, now people are prepped for it. Give us 2 minutes, if you would, on if the average sports bettor is just landing on this, and I think it speaks for a lot of us who are just like, okay, I love betting sports. Horses is a completely different thing. And yes, I show up for the Triple Crown, but just a brief sort of primer on betting the Derby.
Yeah, there's a couple things you have to take note. I mean, first off, it's the difference between sports betting and parimutuel betting. So with sports betting, you're betting directly against a sports book, right? So you're competing with DraftKings, you're competing with Caesars, whoever it is, and you're locked into your number. So if you played the Chiefs -1.5 in the Super Bowl, no matter what that line moves to, you've got Chiefs -1.5. in a parimutuel pool, the pool stays open right up until the race goes off. And so you can see wagers that come in and are able to shift those odds, because in a parimutuel pool, the track essentially takes their percentage and then the rest of the money is split between all of the winning wagers. So if you bet Fierceness the 17 and he's 3-1 on the board, if someone comes in and bets $1 million on Fierceness, you're going to get 5-2 or 2-1 instead of that 3-1 when you bet it. So you got to pay attention to those odd shifts. It's a reason why a lot of people will late till later to bet this race. Now, more Kentucky Derby focused, this is the only race in America where you have 20 horses in the field. It's the only race in America where you have every single horse who has never run this far before. So there are some big time variance parts of this that come into play. Where you're positioned in the gate makes a massive difference. Where you are in the field in the early running makes a big time difference. Very hard to pass 19 horses if you are in last and not get stopped at some point because someone's backing up into you. So the traffic is a real issue in the Derby. It's a great race to take shots. And so if you do like a price, great. Make sure you put that price, put a win bet in on it. If you like a horse like Fierceness, if you like a horse like Sierra Leone, putting them on top of a trifecta and then putting multiple horses underneath gives you a chance to put prices underneath and kind of move toward a very big payout. And that's been my general strategy, is I'll put one or two horses in the first place position in the trifecta and the superfecta, and then I will put 4-5 in that second or third place position and try and get big numbers behind a short price, or just try and fill it out depending on if I like a big price on top.
All right, so we don't have post positions yet. That is coming up later in the week. Sierra Leone is the short shot. Oh, we do have post positions?
We do have post positions. Oh. So they drew on Saturday. Fierceness drew the 17 post. And the thing you're going to consistently hear is no horse has ever won the Kentucky Derby out of the 17 post in 150 runnings. Well, that's kind of a false narrative, so don't fall for it. First off, there haven't been 150 17 horses. So
right.
I think it's 43 times we've run out of the 17 gate. Of those 43 times, only two have been a favorite. And they have not had a price that's shorter than 25-1 since they switched to the 20 horse gate. So it's not as big of a disadvantage as you're going to consistently hear from everybody. And Fierceness also sets up well from that 17 post. He's got early speed. He'll stay out of trouble out there. He'll be 3 wide on both turns. But if that's all that happens to him, if that's the biggest trouble he faces, he's able to win this race from the 17 post. Your other favorite, the 2-horse Sierra Leone, draws that 2 spot. And it's close to a death sentence to me in this race for him, because he is going to be last first time under the finish line. This horse is a dead closer. And when you have 20 horses, all of them move inward toward the rail once the break happens. And that means that the inside horses get absolutely smashed and pushed back. So he is going to break slow and then get smashed and pushed all the way back to the last part of the field. Also a very big horse. He's not all that athletic. So once he gets going, if he has to stop, it's going to be a huge problem for him, which means he's probably 8-9 wide on that second turn just to make sure he doesn't get stopped. And then it's a tall task for him to run everybody down.
All right. So Fierceness now, a slightly shorter shot than Sierra Leone. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just going to say Circa Sports has him up plus 225 on Fierceness, plus 375 on Sierra Leone.
Seeing close to $3. You got to shop around for these two. Okay. Take it from there, Mike. So beyond Fierceness, then, how are you going to bet this and what horses will you include?
Right now, Fierceness is my pick, and I reserve the right to change that if I need to. But right now, I do have Fierceness on top. I'll have the official ones here on Thursday, and then I'll have an article on VSiN.com on Friday with my official plays as well. There are 4 horses that I thought drew very, very well. When you're looking at these draws, you want to look for horses that are between that 5 and 15 post. That's traditionally where they've seen the most success at the Derby. Horses between the 5 and 10 post have a 20% rate of finishing in the top 3. So that's a phenomenal draw for those horses. And there's a couple that drew there that I am very interested in. The 7-horse, Honor Marie, a horse that should appreciate the extra distance, has been improving consistently. Right now, 20-1 on the morning line. That's a horse I'm going to be using underneath. Not sure Honor Marie can win the race, but I do think Anna Marie has a very good shot at hitting the trifecta or the superfecta. The number 8, Just a Touch. Gil, I know you're going to be excited about this one. Drew very, very well. It's a horse with tactical speed. Lost to Sierra Leone last time, but did so much more work contesting an early fast pace and then still ran well at the end. I thought that was a very impressive race from Just a Touch. You should project to get a very good trip. And then the 9-horse Encino, another one who drew very well, 20-1 on the morning line. This horse went gate to wire last time in the Bluegrass, but if you flip it back two races ago, was able to come from off the pace and be able to close. I think you're going to get more of that stock and trip from Encino. This is a horse moving in the right direction. Just a Touch and Encino, both Brad Cox horses as well. He's fared very well at the Derby. And Encino 20-1. The other horse you're going to hear a lot about, the 10 horse, Forever Young. This is a Japanese horse. We've never had a Japanese horse win the Derby. Won the UAE Derby. We've never had a UAE Derby winner win the Derby. This could be the year. I think this Forever Young is a legitimate threat to be able to win this race, and one that I'm going to definitely have in my exactas and my trifectas.
Okay, so in some form, all the horses that you mentioned may be included in your bets, is what you're saying?
Yeah, right now I am probably going to play Fierceness on top, and so I'll have Fierceness in that one spot, and then play a couple horses in the two spot, and then spread out in the three or four spot in the superfecta, and spread out in that two and three spot in the trifecta, with the idea that if I'm playing the favorite on top, in a race with 20 horses, you have to find prices underneath. That's the best way to create value. If you're playing long shots on top, let's say you want to put Just a Touch or Encino on top, you can have Sierra Leone, you can have Fierceness underneath them and still make quite a bit of money because you've got that big price on top. But because I'm going for that, for Fierceness on top right now, I'm going to have to spread out some prices underneath to make sure it's profitable.
Okay. By the way, I take no credit for Just a Touch. I asked Felica like a month ago, and I asked Flatter a month ago, hey, what horse, you know, of these? I would send him a screenshot. Both of them happened to match on Just a Touch, so I made a bet then, 20-1. By the way, I'm lifetime 1-45, I think, on Kentucky Derbies. American Pharaoh, thank you so much for getting me off the schneid. You mentioned that about, because you're right, we do hear about these trends, right? We know about them in sports betting, but on the Derby, no horse has ever won from 17, you pointed out. And you're right, like the first Derby, what were they, like five horses? So you don't even get close to a 17th position. So it's been less than 50 where there's actually been a horse in the 17 spot. What are some of the other big myths that you hear about the Derby that people should listen to and be like, that's noise, that's not a signal?
Well, I think one of the big misses is the smaller trainers not able to win this race. Last year, we saw Delgado win it. He was a smaller trainer. Year before that, Rich Strike wins it for a smaller trainer, smaller barn. You don't have to be a big name to win this race. You don't need to be a big name jockey to win this race. You're going to be able to see some connections jump up and be able to get the job done, even though they're not Brown, Pletcher, Cox. And to me, the interesting debate here is around the pace. And if you looked at, in 2013, the Derby switched over to a points race strategy to get in, which means that you had to accrue points by winning prep races. And those prep races were all a mile or longer. Prior to 2013, it was stakes earnings, which includes sprint races. So you saw the pace of the Derby be very fast before 2012. Since 2013, we've seen that pace be much slower. And because of that, we've only seen three horses be able to close and win the Derby. The other 7 years, you had to be in the top three at the half mile point to be able to win the Derby. I think we're going to revert more back to that top three at the half mile point with this style of field. You've got a couple of very good closers, but there isn't a ton of pace signed on. It's going to be a fast pace, but you're not going to see that. You know, the last 2 years have been two of the fastest paces in the Derby history, and that's why closers won those races. You're going to hear a lot of play the closers, play the closers. They've won the last 2 years. I would point back to the previous 5 years where no closer was even close to winning the race because we saw those slower paces.
The 150th run for the Roses on Saturday, a big landmark for this race. We leave with the question that I ask every time when we go up to the Derby. If I came to you from the future, and I know you like Fierceness here, maybe it's the answer, maybe it's something else. But if I came to you from the future, Mike, and I said a horse won the Triple Crown, that horse would be?
Fierceness is the only one that can win it from this field. No one else is good enough.
There it is. Very simple. Boom. Maybe a Fierceness Triple Crown bet. Maybe that. No. See, even that. He's like, okay, maybe not. By the way, to win the Triple Crown, Fierceness 10-1.
Yeah, that should be like 35.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
It's not even close. Okay, Mike, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Have a good one, guys.
You too. Mike Somich, Somobomb18 on the Twitter machine, co-host of The Handle with Matt Brown here at the network. We'll come back. More NBA next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, from the play-in tournament through the finals. DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSiN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSiN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada here at the D. Should I Ron Burgundy through some tweets, Kelly?
Yeah, sure. Just a reminder, a ton of Kentucky Derby coverage all week long here on VSiN. We'll have a Kentucky Derby primer up.
Yeah.
Mike Somich, I'm going to guess, is over-under 9.5 guest spots, I'm going to say, between now and Friday.
This is his week.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll have Chris Felica on, Drew Dinzik on for us here over the next few days.
Drew does a derby as well?
Remember, he's been there the past few
years. Well, he's part of the NBC Sports coverage, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going out again this year.
Yeah, good for him. Scott C. Twins and an open leg parlay works for me. Great to win. Always love Mark's spots on ANG. We figured it out. It was the Twins and the Phillies was his parlay. Sorry about that. It might have been my fault.
I'm kind of just glad everybody else got it out there, because I was like, wait, what was the second half of that parlay?
Sportsbook conciliary. What about the Phillies? Got a shot? Oh, yeah, we threw that up there, my man. Can we throw those up again? Because we take one last look at these standings. Again, the Braves 19-7, the Guardians 19-9, the Yankees 19-10, the Phillies 19-10, and the Dodgers one win behind, if you will, at 18-12. And again, we went through earlier the different scenarios if you did it at Circa, and the different scenarios if you did it at a dead heat shop. So yes, absolutely, the Phillies have a chance to. By the way, the Phillies have a chance to do it outright, as do the Yankees. But from our Guardians perspective, at Circa, there's essentially, we have to hit a five-leg parlay with seven opportunities. And then the dead heaters, boy, that's the other thing about, like, should I do a May bet on this? If Circa, I haven't looked, if Circa's not offering May, I don't want to get involved at a dead heat shop.
I really don't. I don't think I'd want to either.
Kevin Ryan Gill, I am 66 years old, and I'm really starting to forget things. But when your guest didn't mention the second half of his MLB parlay, I was on the internet researching memory drugs. Sorry about that. let's see.
I shouldn't be laughing about that.
I write
down everybody's bets, and I sat there and I was like, wait a second. I only wrote down one half of this.
He was talking about Yamo B there, and then he was reciting rap lyrics. It was very difficult with him today. New York Mets 16, Oakland play-by-play announcer needs a little Gus Johnson in her comeback calls. He's with me on that. Let's see. And on with these tweets. Always appreciate it.
Man, I don't see a best record by end of May at Circa, but man, are they posting a lot of props these days. That's good to see.
The numbers, guys. The problem with the Samo bomb, when the shot glass hits the bottom of the mug, inevitably you end up wearing some of that grenadine. Okay. D-Gen, Southern Gen. Gil, you know I'm a massive Braves fan, but I'm also a massive fan of your show, so I won't be upset if they lose tonight and tomorrow, and you and your followers are able to cash your Guardians' most win in April bets. Best of luck, mate. Thank you, D-Gen, Southern Gen. By the way, let me just say this. I want to thank everybody who has ridden the bet, and so many of those, just like D-Gen, Southern Gen, who have been so kind as to, even if they're not involved or even if it goes against their interests, all the love about the bet. Really appreciate it. It has been such a pleasure to live through this day by day, whether it gets home or not, quite frankly. Jason Stark. Hey, Gil and Kelly, something tells me if you reran the... he's complaining about commercials. Vegas regular. Abs fans are worse. Oh, he says Abs fans are worse than the Golden Knights fans. They, too, won their first season after the team left Quebec, not hockey knowledgeable, and have the arrogance of Broncos fans. Horrible. Speaking of Broncos fans, let's talk a little. You can actually bet on the number one pick in the draft next year. Is this something that might interest you? Shedeur Sanders is your short shot, everybody.
The odds interest me, that's for sure.
Could you imagine somebody betting this at even money? Stop it.
No.
Stop it. By the way, it's supposed to be a bad quarterback crop. That is the, you know how we said this year's NBA draft is supposed to be, by scouts analysis, the worst NBA draft ever.
Yeah.
As far as a quarterback crop, this is supposed to be one of the worst next year. Yeah. Shedeur Sanders, Carson Beck, Quinn Ewers, Jalen Milroe at the top.
like even through the beginning hype of Colorado last year, like everybody still, all the pro guys were all still projecting Shador to be pretty damn good.
That was
on the NFL level.
Well, that was another theory about why, like, Sean Payton loves Bo Nix. But it's also another theory as to why he was willing to take him at 12 is because, well, I'm not taking anybody next year, so let me grab Bo Nix right now.
Okay.
But he obviously loves Bo Nix specifically.
Well, I guess, yeah, I don't know. Carson Beck, Quinn Ewers, those guys, Jackson Dart, those guys don't compare, I guess, to what we just had.
Oh, I guess not. According to the buzz, that could change. We have one more year of college football.
There are some games to be played. Yeah, yeah.
We'll see.
Not like Jaden Daniels made a big leap in the last year or anything.
But there is no bet to be made here, quite right. There's no Will Levis 40-1 that you loved so much and then didn't even become a first round draft pick.
Hey man, that was live like a week out of the draft.
Live.
That was something Luke and I were texting about, like during the draft, of the amazing draft CLV you could have, and just the hype that names where they get tossed around. And that's a perfect example.
Yeah,
Levis, like Matt Brown. I bet that the summer before, and yeah, it was 80-1 or something like that. Remember, like days before the draft, where they were like, he's in serious consideration for the number one pick.
Everybody's doing the winners and losers thing after the draft, which they do every year. Like, oh, who are the winners and losers? And the winners, the consensus winners, are the Steelers and the Eagles. Like almost everywhere you look, the Eagles get this every year. Although last year's draft wasn't quite as winnery as it ended up being.
I get that. We all crushed them for their defensive backs, right? They did address that.
They did.
You know, right at end of first and beginning of second.
Yep, they sure did. Cooper DeJean And before that, Quinyon Mitchell. By the way, Mitchell's like a star. If you like hear him interviewed and stuff, he's got such charisma. He's going to be fantastic. I would add Washington, though. If you want to play the wins, you know, who's the winners and losers? I thought Washington drafted super well. Not just Jaden Daniels, of course. But then they ended up in the second round and the third round. They ended up having a great day. Among their picks, they did draft the defensive tackle from Illinois. I don't know. I mean, that's the strength of their team, right? Payne and Allen in the middle. So I'm not sure they'll be creative how they insert him into the lineup. But Sanistrill, slot corner from Michigan, who's a big playmaker, adding him was great. And then if you ever bet on Kansas State in any game, the tight end Sinnott. And you just think about, like, those guys will play all the time. So if you just, like, did a whole thing like, okay, you draft these players, but what's the minutes they would actually be on the field? I think they drafted a lot of players who are going to contribute big time. So take that for what it's worth. Did you see the C.J. Stroud, Micah Parsons argument about best division in football?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, my God.
I saw Stroud for a couple different times over the weekend, so I thought you were going somewhere else. I don't think I saw
it. It made me like C.J. Stroud that much more because, like, Micah Parsons had this ridiculous position that the NFC East was better than the AFC North. And Stroud, who's not even in the AFC Yikes. North, was like, he even said, he goes, fam. He was, like, trying to be nice about it. He's like, like, you're completely wrong, basically. So Stroud was dead on it. What was this? Did you want to show this Rams thing real quick?
Yeah, you know what? Let's get that ready, Matt. Yeah. You can fire it whenever you've got it. This was an incredible moment, I thought, during the draft after the Rams drafted two Florida State players.
Hey, Braden.
Yes, sir.
This is Les Snead, Los Angeles Rams.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good. Hey, we just traded in. I forget what pick it is. What is it?
39th.
And we're going to draft you. What do you think?
Yes, sir. That's unbelievable. I can't think. Oh, I get to wait. I'm playing with Verse again?
Oh, and you know what? We're trying to get Verse to drive up and make the call to you. But he got stuck in traffic, so he's probably about a minute away.
No.
Congrats. Way, I'm going to put you on the phone right now with your new head coach, Sean McVay.
Braden.
How's it going, coach?
Oh, man, we are fired the up, bro. I can't wait to watch you two back in action together, pair you up with you Kobe Turner. Yeah. Hey,
you have no idea what you
now you're
said.
Going. Now you're going East Coast to West Coast, man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Jared, talk to your new teammate, Braden Fisk, man.
Hey, Fisk.
Let's go, boy.
By the way.
How about that? We got you two together.
Oh, I told you, man. Oh, my God. I can't wait to play with you again.
Oh, man.
Congratulations, man. Congratulations, bro. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, shit, bro. I can't wait,
so
bro.
Cool, but we're going to do this, man. We're going to do this. I'm so proud of you, man.
Oh.
Yeah, oh shit!
Bro. Oh, that is awesome.
Wow, super emotional.
How good is that?
That's a moment for Kelly Bidlin, FSU graduate. Not pictured here because we got a run, but as the call continued, they got a hold of their emotions, and then Fisk says, Braden Fisk and Jared Verse, teammates at FSU, Fisk says to Verse, I'm so happy we're going to be playing real football next year instead of this exhibition stuff we've been doing. And Verse was like, I know, right? Goodell told me it's real.
See, it mattered for something, Kel.
We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next to Joy for Visa, the Sports Betting Network.